2SER.com. We can communicate.
Jono of Magnetic Head, thank you for taking some time out to have a chat here on The Band Next Door on 2SER. Now, as much as people would probably know the name Magnetic Head, you are also one of the founding fathers of local Sydney label Broken Stone Records. You have put out quite a collection of albums over the years from not only your own outfit, Magnetic Heads, but the likes of Sister Jane, The Sticks, Roadhouses. So I'm curious, in that kind of aspect, what do you see yourself as first? Do you see yourself primarily as someone on the business and label end of things, or do you see yourself first and foremost as a musician?
That's a really good question. So thanks for having me on the show and asking that, because it's probably the first time someone's asked me. The genesis of Broken Stone Records was an interesting one. I wrote a solo record under the name Des Miller, which is my middle name, and I said to my mate, John, who I was in other bands with, I said, oh, I've got this album that I'm thinking about putting it out. He's like, oh, why didn't you put it out on our label? I was like, what label? He's like, this label, it's called Broken Stone Records. And, you know, he'd kind of registered a business name. And I guess I was probably going to do it independently anyway, right? I was going to do that thing. And so he was like, let's do it under the label. And we had this little crew of bands that we were really good friends with, really tight with at the time. Bands like Richard in Your Mind and The Maple Trail. And we decided to create this kind of, I guess, a machine, a kind of umbrella under which bands that were otherwise pretty much independent and could kind of do their own thing. So it's always been the intention of the label to be more like a kind of like a gallery, you know, like a curation of artists. So the label is a vehicle. And it's a kind of collection. It's a way to collect the different artists. And so, you know, my involvement with the label is pretty, I mean, I run the thing, so to speak. Like, I coordinate it. We have a really close relationship with Remote Control Records. They distribute all the material. And, you know, we've done that for almost since day dot, pretty much close to. But from the point of view of how I fit in, I guess I'm just another one of those artists that was looking to make work and to release it, and having an umbrella and a kind of collection. It's been really fun spending time on other people's work as well, you know, money and time. Like, me and my mate Johnny, we both co-fund the label, and it's a pretty lean situation. You know, we're not spending lots and lots of money on here, but where we are spending it, we're spending it on producing vinyl for bands. And so, yeah, I think I see myself as an artist first and foremost, and then as a kind of coordinator as well, you know, in parallel.
Having a very eclectic and diverse range of music and sounds throughout the label, does that help you flesh out what you think you want to do when it comes to music, or does it help you figure out the formula to how to write a successful pop song?
The artists on the label and the community in general, like the scene, are always an influence on me. You know, what I'm listening to, what I have listened to, what I like. But mainly the people that I'm, you know, in touch with, and this record in particular, I worked kind of really closely, like extremely closely, with Liam Judson. And so he was one of the songwriters in Bells Will Ring. He was a guitarist and producer and engineer for Sister Jane. We've had a lot to do with each other over the years, toured a lot with his bands. And so I think the label and the people in the label, it's kind of, in a way, a kind of collective of people that love making music. And so, yeah, definitely an influence. But I think in this particular case, Magnetic Heads is a kind of interesting story because it's over such a long period of time. Yeah. But the execution, like the pointy end of it, really dependent on my relationship with Liam and working with him like super closely.
The gas is running out, can't you feel it? But I'm going electric. It's getting hot in here. Can't you feel it? I'm not a climate skeptic.
Some of these tracks, though, on this new record are fairly old in a way, kind of almost demos from yesteryear back in 2009. And so I actually had to go back and listen to your 2011 release, the Wild Eyes 4-track, which is quite a different experience, a lot more of a jaunty indie guitar-driven record. However, your new album, it's very much rooted in, you know, the world of synthesizers. So did your guitar just not fit the idea of this record, or do you feel like you have moved on from the instrument altogether?
It's funny you say that. I mean, when we were moving house, I joked that we were kind of moving photo by photo. I was going through all this old stuff, like in boxes. And I found the master for the recordings that ended up becoming those two EPs. They're actually two kind of original EPs back in 2010 and 2011. And they both were cut from a master of songs. It's about 14 tracks of mastered material that we ended up cutting down into two EPs. And it very much was a different method. Like, the method was a live studio recording upon which we then layered up, you know, vocals and other guitar parts. But really the fundamental basis of it was a live sound. And you can really hear it, like no click track, completely live. I think the influences and the sets of sounds that we were trying to grab and create in those original recordings and what became the recorded sound of the band at that time was way more live. However, a lot of the songwriting and the kind of intentionality of the songs carries over. And there's, you know, definitely material from back then on this record, and there's newer material, and there's a kind of bridge between the newest and the newest stuff. You know, we haven't been playing, and it's been a lot of me just kind of working on stuff in isolation. Well, one song was written specifically for the record, which is the closing song on the record. And that was all done, like, yeah, on a synthesizer, a really cool unit called the Deluge. There's other songs on the record where they're still really kind of, I guess, originally inspired by more guitar-based music. And there's guitars throughout, like Liam actually plays a fair bit of guitar on this as well, and I play guitar. But the bedrock is way more synthetic. And I think that's because, you know, of the method that we chose. In a way, we were kind of restricted in our choices, but intentionally we decided, and I got really interested in electronic drum bed. Like, the bed of the track is electronic. There's one track which is live drum still, but we made it as metronomic as we could, and we worked to a click in that track as well. The rest of it is programmed, and I did a lot of programming, and Liam helped, and it's a much more electronic sound as a result. So I think the evolution is there, and you can kind of feel it, but I still love guitars. Don't worry.
I was poking around online to have a look through Liam's behind the scenes productions of the record, and he mentions on his blog the film Metropolis by Fritz Lang a few times as a visual that keeps coming into his head during the process of this album. Did you have anything likewise going through your mind that you were trying to, I guess, sonically paint on this record?
I loved his breakdown. I think Liam's kind of visualization, his architectural kind of methodology is so cool. He kind of thinks about songs and production in terms of physical or architectural form. What we ended up kind of landing on a Cold Wave kind of influence in terms of the overall sonic aesthetic. And some of that we just used to describe to each other in terms of visuals. There's always been a sci-fi kind of element to the visuals in my mind around this. It is kind of stark, actually. And I think it's because it's a, you know, like what we were talking about before, there's this kind of synthetic layer, this bedrock. But in terms of specific imagery, I've got three video clips made for this, and I steered completely away from that kind of visual imagery, even though it would have been pretty cool. But I wanted to make the videos for these tracks way more personal, like, so to kind of humanize in a way the music, because I think maybe it was because I was a bit worried that it would otherwise feel too stark, like almost too bleak, too dark. It's a pretty, in some parts this record can be pretty dark, so I wanted to kind of warm it up, because there's still a lot of warmth and a lot of optimism in the sound and the songs, and there's a bit of party in there, you know, like there's still a bit of dance groove, and that was always core to what I guess we had going on when there was more of a band.
Speaking of being starry-eyed and having a more inclusive and heartwarming element on this record, I think that is really summed up entirely on The Street, which was the first single for the album, put out a couple of months ago now. Would you describe this record as a pandemic record?
I think you're right. That is definitely the most upbeat tune. And the arc of kind of emotions on the record, that's definitely probably, I would say, in Happy Zone. It was written before the pandemic, that song, but it happened to become quite topical. That song was always a kind of reflection on how isolated we are, even at the best of times. Like even when you are allowed to go around and be amongst people, we don't know our neighbors, you know, and that song was a reflection on that feeling that you can have. And sometimes that's a freedom, being anonymous on the street, but sometimes it's a symptom, I think, of maybe a bit of a dislocation that we have in this kind of atomization that we experience in a big city, which can be bad, and people can be lonely in a metropolis. It's bizarre, right? Like, so this song was about connections on the street and hoping, I guess, that there could be room for optimism around community. So that song's an optimistic song, even though it comes from a little place of concern.
As much as I do love the street, my favorite track on the record though has to be The Beach. I love the way it just has this huge, searing, cacophonic ending. It's quite extravagant. How did that track come together?
Yeah, I love that song too. I'm glad you like it. It's actually one of the older ones. We used to play it live, and when we played it live, it did kind of degrade into white noise. And the lyrical intent there is an interesting one. It's a mix of things. There's a mix of stuff going on there. One of those was inspired by a kind of pretty sad story about death. And so in a way, the degradation there is reflective of that. And when Liam and I were recording it, we got really excited because we loved the sounds that we were getting out of the bass line in that song. And I really love singing that song too. Like, the lyrics are really fun. It's probably us at our most Smithsy. And then it becomes like a pretty scary moment. We ended up layering, and we knew what we wanted to do, but we went away because I was going up to the mountains to Liam's place, and we were recording, in his room, a day at a time. And we were having gaps of weeks in between sometimes. And I left him with that. And like, we'd done a fair bit of layering, and I was like, you know where we want to go with this. Can you make it scary? And he went away and he sent me a mix, like a rough mix of what he'd done. And it was pretty insane. It was pretty intense. And it still is pretty mind blowing part of the record, I think. So yeah, that was a really exciting and fun moment in our journey. I think there's some raw recordings of it's actually Liam screaming a little bit, making some of those sounds. It's actually a human voice making some of those sounds. It's not just guitars, so it's pretty harrowing.
Now that you have kind of scratched your itch, so to speak, in terms of putting out another record, how do you feel about hanging back for a while? Or do you want to, throw yourself into the studio? Do you want to reclaim the guitar now that you have conquered the world of synthesizers?
I think the overwhelming kind of emotion at the moment is relief that we finally got this record done and that I've got these songs kind of recorded, because a lot of them we tried to record in the past, I was never happy. This is like a good representation of that material that I think we're all really proud of over the years. And so Liam joined the band, and we did a show for the single launch, but I was looking forward to doing shows, and I think off the back of those shows, I was hoping there was going to be some momentum to kind of push a little bit and maybe do some more writing and recording. That's going to go on the back burner, but there'll definitely be more. I mean, it's not going to be another 9 years, put it that way. I'd like to kind of delve a bit deeper into some of the tools that we were using, especially the Deluge that I've been using. I've been playing some live shows with it. There's definitely a case for a deeper exploration into some synthetic sounds, but at the same time, some of the core influences into this project, the bands like The Smiths, and I think one of the reviewers for this record talked about bands like, more obscure 80s bands. There's a lot of guitars going on, and I do love the soundscape you get out of that. But yeah, this kind of bedrock style programming based music is something that I think we'll probably keep exploring. That's for sure. And look, thanks again. Yeah, really, really happy to talk about this stuff.